Parsh Vayishlach. We're starting from this pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis pasuk Lamed. It says Vayishlach Yaakov Ayomer. Yaakov Avinu asked and said the following. I got nothing else. Hagidin Hashemachi said, "Please tell me your name." Said to the Malach, "Vayomer Lamazet Yishalushmi." And he said to him, "Why do you ask me for my name?" And he said, "Vayivarcho Sosham." And he blessed him there, and he gave him a bracha right over there. So I don't think you really need an introduction to this idea. I think everybody understands what's happening over here. There was a malach that fought Yaakov, you know, as he crossed the river, the Yabok River, in order to grab his pachim ketanim. Everybody knows that happened, right? As he's fighting the malach, right, the malach asks him, well, he defeats the malach after the malach hits him by the gidon asha, etc. And then the malach asks him for his name. He grabbed onto, wouldn't let the malach go. The malach asked him for his name. He said, "It's Yaakov." He said, "Lo yamar Yaakov shimcha. Your name is no longer going to be called Yaakov. Kim Yisrael shemecha. Yisrael is going to be your name." Then Yaakov asked the malach, "What's your name?" And the malach answers almost incredulously, "Lama zet tishalosh mi? What are you asking me for my name for? Why do you need to know my name?" Just a strange sequence of psukim, and that's that. By Baruch Hashem, and he gave him a brach over there. So first of all, what was Yaakov Avinu asking the question for? That's the first question we have to ask. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that Yaakov knew malachim do not have set names. This is going to be a bit of a machlokas. We're going to have to go through this quite a bit. But their names are only based on what they do at that time. So for example, Michael is about the job of Mikael, who does things like God. Any malach can be a Michael. It's just that any malach that does something that's awesome at that moment is called Michael. Any malach that does a refuah of some sort is called Rafal. Any malach that does the gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatness of God, is called Gavriel. Each one of these malachim are that. But according to this Or HaChaim HaKadosh, there is no Michael, Gavriel, Rafal. There is no such thing because malachim are spiritual creatures. They don't have that. Miam Loez on page 617 says the exact same thing. There are no exclusive names for a certain malach. There are malachim that do a job, and that job is represented by what we call them. But that's it. There is no name. So when he asked the malach, he said, "What's your name?" He said, "Lama zeti shalashmi? What do you have to know my name for?" There is no name to every malach. A malach is just known by the job that he has right now. My job right now will not be the job next time. So therefore, it's something different. Yiskuni says the idea behind it is that Yaakov Avinu met, it's like he met somebody on the plane, right? And he got this good friend sitting next to him. They had a great conversation. So after the plane ride is over, you say, "Hey, let's keep in touch. So let's try to keep in touch with each other. How can I get a hold of you? How can you get a hold of me?" And you exchange numbers, names, etc. "It's not necessary," said the malach. "You don't need it because you're never going to see me ever again." Right, which is kind of mean to say somebody on a plane, but it is kind of something that I just told somebody on the plane. Just said, like, "I'm never going to see you ever again. It's been fun. Have a great day and year and life. It's good. It's perfectly fine." He was a Turkish guy. There's not much I'm going to say to him ever again, you know? It's Turkish air. It's fine. But either way, regardless, that concept, says the Chizkuni, is what he was saying over here. And Manoach did the exact same thing. The Malach responded the same way. "There's no reason to know my name. You're never going to see me ever again. That idea that you might have is never going to be there ever again." The Sforno says he wanted to know the Malach's tzur. He wanted to know what he did wrong. He obviously did an aveira, and that's why the malach was fighting him. "So what did I do wrong? Tell me who you are so that I know what I did wrong so I can fix it in the future and nothing like this can ever happen in the future." What is that? And that's the way of tzaddikim, to always learn from their mistakes. Says the Sforno that the malach's response is, "I'm a fiery appearance. I don't have a physical appearance that can ever come down to you ever again. And there's no mere words that can describe exactly what I am. So I can't tell you what I'm fighting you for. That's not what I know. All I know is that I'm supposed to fight you. I'm supposed to do something down here, and that's that. So if you knew my name, it wouldn't help you. It wouldn't be able to do anything for you." Because again, this concept that they don't know names. So we got a Chizkuni, the Miam Loez, and the Sforno, along with the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, which is all saying that Malachim don't have specific names. Now the Chassam Sofer says really the question of the Malach, what he was asking the Malach is, what's the purpose of your visit? I mean, the Malach's coming to visit him, right, in order to get around. There were two things the Malach did. What were the two things that the Malach did while he was there? Number one, punched him and caused an Isser of Gideon Asha. Right? That the Gideon Asha can no longer be eaten because he punched Yaakov Avinu in the thigh. Number two, he renamed him. What's up?
I was just going over with Ben Riz. The Chinuch says that it's not the reason. It's just a story that we sort of...
But it says straight on the puzzle, Gal Kain Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael's Gideon Asha. It's kind of hard to go around that, right? So yeah, so you got to have the Gideon Asha. That's number one. Number two, because the name of Yaakov was changed to Yisrael. Right? That idea. So he went up to him and he said to him, "What's your real purpose? Is your real purpose for the Gideon Asha or was it for Yisrael?" Now listen to this. This is the craziest thing in the world. Only the Chassam Sofer would get this. Hagida na shemecha are the letters of Gid Hanasha. Hagida na shemecha is Gid Hanasha, and there's three extra letters. Three extra letters there. A mem, an aleph, and a chav sofis. Chav sofis is 500 in gematria. Okay, so 500. Mem is 40, Aleph is 1. 541. 541 is the gematria of Yisrael. So he said to him, Hagida na shemecha, in the context of those words, Hagida na shemecha, tell me your name. Tell me if you're here to name me Yisrael, or if you're here for the Gida Nasha. That was the kasha that he was asking him. So within the words, it's right there. That's an unbelievable shot from the Chassam Sofer. That's one you can go home with. That's one you can tell your mommy and say, this is something that I got. This is an unbelievable one. Rashi does not explain what the question was, but clearly it wasn't a bad question. The Malach had just asked him the same thing right beforehand. What's your name? He wanted to know what his name was. That's an obvious idea. The Era Torah says something over here, etc. I'm not going to go into Rashi's question because there is no question according to Rashi. It's really all about the answer. The answer he says is, how will you know that I'm there? You don't need my name. Because wherever I'm going to be at any time, it could change at the command, similar to what the Sforno and what the Chizkuni are saying. It could change at any command, and therefore, even if you call me by my name, I can't guarantee I'm going to be there at that time. Therefore, there's no point. There really is no point in you saying it to me. There's no point over there. The Raza Meir says the same thing. The Malach itself didn't even know his name. Raza Meir was that parish on the Panach Raza that nobody ever gets to use. But he didn't even know his name. So if you would ask me what my name is, I don't know. Right? I have absolutely no idea what the name is. I can't tell you something like that. That's impossible to be able to know. The Ramban says that there's no toelis. There's really no good hope in getting my name, because even if you had it, there's nothing you're going to be able to get out of it. It's the same basic idea the Raza Meir is saying and the Rashi is saying over here. But let's go into a different idea. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says a strange answer. I want somebody here, if you can figure this out for me, I'd be really, really happy. I can't figure out what this Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is talking about whatsoever. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, when someone defeats someone else, they want to know their name so that they can go around bragging that they just defeated him. Like, if I just beat up Mike Tyson, then I'd want everyone to know that I beat up Mike Tyson. I want everybody to know, what's your name? Your name's Mike Tyson? Awesome! I just beat up Mike Tyson. So I can go around telling everybody I beat up Mike Tyson. It's not going to happen. I might be as strong as you think I am, but I don't think it's going to happen. Not now, Avi. Right? Either way, regardless, you defeat somebody else that's there. So the Malach, and here's the way the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says it, didn't want to say his name. Why? Because he thought Yaakovina was going to go around bragging about it. And he didn't want Yaakovina going around bragging about it. She said, I'm not going to tell you my name so you don't go around bragging about beating me. Isn't that a strange Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar?
Yaakovina won the fight?
Yaakovina won the fight, right. Because he had him in the hold and he got the bracha out of him. So I don't get it. What's the pshat? How do you understand that? Is that a lesson I need to learn from here? Like, that's something that without that I never would have understood what's going on? It's just a strange pshat. I really have no idea what this Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying. The Chassam Sofer says the exact, similarly, I guess, but like he says something that makes sense. The Chassam Sofer says that the Malach was scared. He was scared. Yaakov was greater than he thought he was because he defeated the Malach. So his name Yaakov became Yisrael, became a higher up name. The Malach was weaker than it thought it was. So the Malach was worried about losing its name. So the Chassam Sofer says he didn't want to say anything because he thought he was going to lose his name over it. So he said, I'm not going to say anything whatsoever. That already I get, but the Rabbeinu Bechaya that doesn't want to go around, that's strange. Moshe, what were we going to say?
At this point, did Yaakov already take on Esau's responsibility?
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe the Malach was afraid that he's going to get bad tendencies also with guys out of Esau.
That the Malach of Esau was worried that he was going to take on the bad tendencies of Esau as well? But why now? Oh, because of Gaiva now. Oh, I hear what you're saying. Since Esav is known for Gaiva, then the idea of him saying, uh-oh, if you know who I am, then you'll take on something, so to speak. You'll have beaten me. You'll be like an egotistical fool, and that ego will be there for you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That could be an idea behind the Rebbe Nebuchadnezzar. What's up?
Going back to what you said about if he knows my name, he'll brag that he's beaten.
He'll go and brag, yeah.
As opposed to someone saying he's beaten an angel. Like, if you're talking about someone who's going to brag anyway,
but you don't know which angel. So the angel doesn't go down because you don't know which one. You hear what I'm saying? So the Malach says, I'm not going to tell you my name, so you don't know that I'm the one that you just beat up. That's the concept, the idea behind it. It's crazy, but that's the idea behind it. The party sosa says, you don't know if this Malach is good or bad. And the truth is, Malach of Esav, you have no idea if this guy's good or bad. There's some good behind him, there's some bad behind him. There's a lot of things that are there. So he said, what are you asking this of me? Lamazet Yishalushmi is really, says the party sosa, I'm clearly both. You're asking me what I am, if I'm full of averus, if I'm full of mitzvos? I'm clearly both. I do evil things, I do good things. Sometimes it comes out to be good, sometimes it comes out to be bad. And that's exactly what Esav's all about. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, usually a little bit of a mix of both. There's an amazing Ksav Sofer over here, and also an amazing Od Yosef Chai over here, but we're not going to go into them. In a Ksav Yad, Rashi says a little bit differently. In a Ksav Yad, Rashi says, and it's brought by the Rabbeinu Bechai as well, he heard that a Malach never wants to reveal his name, because it would seem like the great deed or miracle that he just did could be attributed back to him. But a malach, by definition, is a messenger. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. A malach can't decide to do anything on his own. And because the malach can't do it on his own, if you name the malach and you say, that malach did X, that takes away from the whole purpose of the malach. The purpose of the malach is to show that God can do all this. That he's the one in charge and I'm just the messenger. So when it happens in any other fashion, in any other way, that's something that's bad. That's wrong. So the malach doesn't want his name mentioned because he doesn't want to be around here. Similarly in the Haggadah, we don't mention any specific malachim. There were malachim that helped us go out of Mitzrayim. There were malachim that did the makos. Not one malach is mentioned. The reason why is because, according to this Rashi, because we don't want to attribute anything back to the malach. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything. The messenger is just a messenger. There's nothing more than that. That's the concept that's brought up over here from Rashi, from the Ksav Yad. Now, it's 100%, this idea is so clear to me, because that's exactly what Targum Yerushalmi Uziel says by Parshas Vayetze. In Parshas Vayetze, we all know there were malachim going up and going down the ladder. So everybody says it was the malachim of Eretz Yisrael that were going up, malachim of Chutz La'aretz going down to be able to help Yaakov as he was going out. Who were the malachim of Eretz Yisrael? Says Targum Yerushalmi Uziel, there were two malachim, Rafal and Gavriel. Why were the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael? Because when they went down to Sodom to destroy Sodom, by the times of Avram Avinu, they said the words, Mashchisim Anachnu, we are going to destroy this land. Because they were in a physical form, they had the ability to say something wrong, and they did. Instead of saying Mashchis Hashem, that Hashem is going to destroy the land, they said, Mashchisim Anachnu, we're going to destroy the land. They said it as if they are going to do something. They were punished. They had to stay down on earth for 138 years. They weren't allowed to go up until Yaakovinu left, and that's when they went up the ladder and sent other malachim down. So the idea is that a malach cannot attribute anything back to itself. It is nothing but a messenger, nothing more than that. The truth is, the lesson behind this is the way we should always think. How many times do you hear a guy say, and again, if this offends anybody, I'm sorry, but you deserve it, okay? You hear a guy say, I made that guy from. How many times have you heard a guy say that? I made that guy from, or I made that shidduch. You know how bad that is? You know how bad that is? It's not you that made the shidduch, or you that made that guy from. First of all, it's condescending and sad to be able to say that I made that guy from. Who are you? You mean without you, that guy wouldn't have been from, so he can attribute everything back to you? Maybe you're one of the cogs in the system that allowed him to make the decisions that were good decisions to be able to become from. But you're the guy who made him from? There's nothing worse than that. The words are so difficult for me to hear. And then, the same thing where I made a shidduch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a quarter of his day making shidduchim. And you think you're the one that made that shidduch? You're the one who put it together? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the right thought in your head to be able to pick one boy and one girl and decide that they go together. So you're the one that made that shidduch? It's almost as if you're denying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. This is the idea that we learn from this idea, from this concept that Rashi is saying. It's not us. We are shluchim. We are messengers for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're able to do certain things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do them. And zehu. There is no more than that. We cannot take any more. You want to get paid for doing shidduchim? Just another way of getting a job. It's like you found a roll of bills in the street. That's what you got. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you an easy way to find a roll of bills in the street and take them up. Some shadchanim might argue with me that it might be a little bit harder than finding a roll of bills in the street. I agree with that. But regardless, the concept is 100% there. We can't do such a thing. What did you say? Noah, what were we going to ask? Not walking around, watching over the Avos for 138 years, yeah.
They weren't physically here.
I know what that means. These Malachim clearly had a physical form. I mean, at least according to everybody but the Rambam and the Barbanel and the Ritva, they had a clear physical form. So yes, they would have appeared as human beings in some way, shape, or form. But how that happens and how that works, I don't know. That I can't tell you. I honestly have no idea. The Chizkuni and the Panach Raza say something similar, but it's not exactly the same. A Malach doesn't wish to reveal its name for fear that a person will swear by it and want it to come down for him at a later point in time. It's a little bit scary. But the concept is, it's just like by Shadim, there's a concept of being mashbia them, swearing them to come to you. I swear by the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should come to me and help me out. And you can do that by Shadim. It's in Kufayin Tes in Yoredeya. The same thing can happen with Malachim. That's what the Chizkuni and the Panach Raza say. And therefore, it's also brought by the Sefer Chassidim and Simon Tuf Shin Nun. Right? That's all together. That's 1150. He says the exact same thing, that you could swear a Malach down. So the Malach said, I'm not telling you my name because I'm not letting you bring me down again. Now, what does that do with the Orach Haim HaKadosh and the Sforna that we set up above? We set up above, Malachim don't have set names. They never have set names. You can call them only according to what their job is at that time. But once they go back up to Shemayim, they sort of reset, or they die and they become something different, whatever happens to them. But this is saying that Malachim have specific names. That's the idea behind it. We're saying that they have real names over here. It seems strange that a Malach would be that literal, would be that physical. But regardless, you have this idea of what it's supposed to be. So how does that work? So I'm thinking that maybe this Machlokas between these Rishonim is the same Machlokas that we have nowadays regarding certain things. You guys remember on Slichos, there are certain people that don't say the words Machnisei Rachamim. Do you know what I'm talking about? Toward the end, when you get to Tachnun, and people are really sick and tired of saying everything that's right there during Slichos, right? So when you get to Elul, toward the very end, there's Machnisei Rachamim, Machnisei Rachamim, Lufnei Bala Rachamim, Machnisei Dima, Machnisei Dima Seinu. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like in the small letters. Not every machzor, every slichos has it, but most of them have it. And the concept is you're asking the malachim, the machnisei rachamim, those who bring in the tfilos that we need, hachnisu rachamenu, bring in our tfilos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Allow our tfilos to be said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're trying to do over here. The concept is that malachim are able to bring our tfilos up. So I'll ask you, is that Avodah Zarah or not? Is that an intermediary that stands between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do I need a Malach for? Why can't my tefillos go straight up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I know it's a strange question, but think about that. Why not? So this concept, I think, is right here. If Malachim's jobs are to bring our tefillos straight up, that's their job. They're not an intermediary. Their job is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Malachim to bring them up the same way he sends a Malach to be able to make the grass grow, and the same way he sends a Malach to protect me wherever I am. There's a Malach that's there to bring the tefillos up to Shemayim. If that's the Malach's job, then it's not an intermediary. That's the way to do it. That's part of the whole system. But if there's a physical form to a Malach, and what I mean is Malachim have names, and you're specifically calling on one Malach to do that job for you, then how is that not Avodah Zarah? I think the Machlokas and whether or not you say this stuff is based on how you understand Malachim. Are Malachim physical names and creatures that do something and you can call them down, you can be Mashpia them like you can to Shadim and cause them to come to you? Or are Malachim spiritual creatures that have no names, do whatever they need to do at that time, and Zehu? Which one is it? Physical or spiritual? I don't mean to say that Malachim are physical, that they have physical names and that there's something to them, or they are purely Ruchni and they don't have it. And that Machlokas, I think, is in this week's Parsha. Medrash Rabba Ayin Ches Dalid, in this week's Parsha, says in the name of Rebbe. It's really Rav over there, but it can't be Rav because Rav wouldn't have heard him of Rebbe Yosef ben Dustoy. But Rebbe says in the name of Rebbe Yosef ben Dustoy, there's a pasuk in Halukas, and you all know it. It says, Mona Mispar L'Kochavim, he counts a number to the stars, Lekulam b'shemo sikra. He calls all of them names. Now, I know it says stars over here, and it's not referring to Malachim specifically, but stars are synonymous with Malachim. I know that's strange, I know that's weird, right? But it is true in that way. Anybody ever read C.S. Lewis? You know what C.S. Lewis wrote? Oh, then? Chronicles of Narnia, very, very good. C.S. Lewis is the first writer that I've ever seen, like Christian writer. He was a very, very Christian writer. He was best friends with J.R.R. Tolkien. J.R.R. Tolkien was, you know, a guy who obviously made his whole fantasy world. C.S. Lewis got an argument with him that he wanted more Christian motif within his books. So C.S. Lewis put in Chronicles of Narnia is entirely Christian themed. The entire thing, Aslan is Yashka, and it's all a bunch of garbage. But regardless, C.S. Lewis wrote inside there that the angels that come down and do the job of God are stars. It's based on this Medrash. I don't know if he got it directly from this Medrash, or he's just an idiot and fell onto something like a needle in a haystack, but the concept is the same. What do stars do and what do Malachim do? If you check out the first bracha of Yotzer Or, it's the same basic concept. Stars bring down Hashpa. The constellations allow things to happen. That's exactly what Malachim are. Malachim bring down this type of Shefa down to the earth itself. So it says, Kulam B'Shem U'Sikra, they're all called names, meaning stars have different names. Malachim have different names. They're not always called the same thing. It depends on what they're doing. One time it could be called Michal. Another time it could be called Gavriel. Another time it could be called Rafal, depending on the job that it has. But then it says in Yeshaya Perek Mem, Hamotiv Mispar Tzva'om, he brings out their Tzva'os, their stars and Malachim, whatever. Lekulam B'Shem Yikra. They all have one single name. So how does that work? So the Medrash answers, and it says the following. It says, there is a Shinui by the Malachim. The name they are called now is not the same name they'll be called in the future. So they can change names at any point. And the riot of this idea seems to be from a Medrash Chafetz and from the Torah Shlema that say that there's a the Kruvim, that are outside the Gan Eden that are watching it with the Lahad Acharvin Sapachas, there's a flaming sword. Hamis Sapachas means that they change at all times. The Malachim have different names depending on what they're doing. Sometimes they're this and sometimes they're that. And it always changes. The idea behind it is right there. That means that all angels change. And the reason why it's put in this week's parsha is because clearly that's what the Malach was saying. What do you have to know my name for? I have different names at all times. I can't tell you what my name is because there is no specific name. When it says B'Shem Yikra, it's because right now I have one name. B'Shem Us Yikra is because in the future I'm going to have another name. That's the way the Medrash answers it. Now, everything would be fine and dandy. That means the Malachim all have different names. That means you could daven to Malachim. I don't mean to say it that way. But you could ask Malachim to bring up your tefillos because no problem with it because they are all spiritual creatures that have a name once in a while and that's that. So I have no problem with it. But then there's an Eitz Yosef and a Marzav. If you're doing the Medrash Rabbah, you have to do the Eitz Yosef. You have to do the Marzav. They're both important perushim on the Medrash. And they learn up this Medrash and says, all Malachim change their names except for the higher up ones that always have one name and stay with it, like Michal, Gavriel, Raphael, Uriel, etc. Those Malachim never change their names. Some Malachim change their names, some Malachim never change their names, and these Malachim do not change their names. Yifei Torah says, there are some Malachim that are Sarei Mala, the Sarim all the way up above, and those names remain the way they are, other Malachim are not in that level. So that's strange. That means Malachim do have names, not all of them. And if you would call out and say, Michal, help me, that would be a Avodah Zarah Mamash. It would be like asking Michal to take up the tefillos for you, which is like davening to the sun or the moon. It would be the same thing, because again, sun and moon, the tzva'os out there, are similar to Malachim. There'd be no difference between them. You wouldn't be able to do it. And that's why you wouldn't say those things. The Matnos Kahuna says like the way I said it. He says, no, of course, all Malachim change their names. Michal, Gabriel, and Raphael are based on what they're doing at that time, and that should be obvious. But it's so strange. I don't get what the Eitz Yosef and the Marzav are doing over here. I really have no idea. Aside from that, try to think about this. If this is true, what the Marzav and the Eitz Yosef are saying, that the Malachim change their names unless they're Michal, Gabriel, Raphael, then why did this Malach not want to say his name? We all know what this Malach was. What was the name of this Malach? The Satan, Samkel, Gabriel, maybe, Michal, possibly. But we know the name. That means he did have a name. What do you mean he did? Lomazetzi Shalashmi, my name changes. You're one of the Malachim whose name doesn't change. So say your name. The Medrash doesn't make any sense. I'm totally lost, honestly lost. I even got to go to see one of my Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, one of my Rebbeim that taught me a lot how to understand Midrashim, Reb Elie Levin, who was a Rosh Yeshiva of Shari Tzvuna. And I asked him, I said, I just don't understand this Medrash. Help me understand it. And I sat down with him for an hour. We couldn't come up with an answer for it. It's not about the Medrash. The Medrash makes sense. The Medrash makes a lot of sense, at least the way the Matnas Kahuna is learning it. The way the Yafei Tohar and the Marzav and the Eitz Yosef are learning it, I mamish have no idea what the point of this Medrash is. I don't get it. I have no idea. Maybe there is an idea somewhere out there. I just don't get it. I have absolutely no idea. There's more to this. There's a Medrash Chayfetz over here as well. Torah Shlemi and Rabina Bechaya, but we're not going to go into that right now. I'm also going to skip, this is getting late over here, the brachos that it gave. The brachos that it gave, there's a Rabbeinu, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, a Medrash Avkir, a Medrash Agada, and the Torah Shlemi, but we're not going to go through that right now. I am going to go into, what I do want to say, is what was this Malach's real name? Now that we have it, the real name at that time. So I want to tell you, first of all, never argue with the Chassam Sofer. You know why you shouldn't argue with the Chassam Sofer? Because first of all, he's awesome. Okay. Second of all, he argues with himself all over the place. The Chassam Sofer, Moshe Schreiber, lived about 200 years ago. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. His second wife was Rabbi Akiva Eiger's daughter's second husband. So the Chassam Sofer married into Rabbi Akiva Eiger's family. He wasn't that much younger than Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He was such a prolific writer. We're talking about a person who was a Rosh Yeshiva of a massive yeshiva in Pressburg and the Rav of the town. He used to give a three-hour shiur in Gemara every single day, aside from the jobs that he had in the town to answer shilas, etc., and giving shiurim to the people in town itself. But, you know, on the side, he wrote six volumes of Shalos HaTshuvos, an entire sefer on all of Shas, an entire sefer on Shulchan Aruch, the Sfarim Toras Moshe on Chumash, the Sfarim Chassam Sofer on Chumash. Both are five-volume sets, although sometimes you'll see the Toras Moshe as a two-volume set. And his drushos. All the drushos were put together in a little thing. I honestly don't know anybody who was prolific a writer as he was. I have absolutely no idea. Aside from everything else, I don't know how he had the time. Literally, I had no clue how he found the time to be able to do everything that he did. It makes no sense to me. So he gives 13 answers as to what the Malach's name was. I'm not going to give you all of them. Not going to give you all of them over here, but he says one of them like this, and this is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. To give you a little bit of introduction, this story happens somewhere else, where they ask the Malach what the name is, and the Malach said, Lama Zeti Shalushmi. Anybody know where it happens by? Malach says, why are you asking my name? He adds on two words over there, V'hu Peli, and it's a Pella. It's two wonders from me. Anybody know? Oh, come on, yes you do. Come on, somebody here must have gone to seminary at some point. Nava Yeshua. He did ask the Malach what he was doing there, but he didn't ask for the specific name. Happens by? You're close. If you've gotten to Eli, you've gotten close. It's the Shofet before him. Perek Yud Gimel in Shoftim, guys, and you definitely have learned this when you're in school. Manoach and his wife. When his wife's name, what was his wife's name? Ah, it's Tzlal Ponis. It's in Baba Basra. It's Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph. What was Shimshon's sister's name? It's in the same Gemara. I don't know how to pronounce it correctly because I don't use art school. So it's either Nishio or Nashia. Nunshin Yud Yud Hey. So good luck with that one. I have no idea. We don't see anywhere in Tanakh that Shimshon has a sister. It's only there in Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph and Baba Basra, which is pretty good. Anyway, regardless, Tzlal Ponis sees a Malach. We all know what happens. The Malach says, your son is going to be a Nazir Shimshon. A very, very special Nazir. It's going to be a special thing. Manoach comes along and says, I want to see the Malach as well. So Manoach goes along to go see the Malach with Tzlal Ponis, with Eishes Manoach, to go see what's going on. As the Malach tells Manoach what to do, which is really just a repetition of what he told his wife, then the Malach, he turns to the Malach and says, Mi Shemecha, what is your name? I know it's not Ma Shemecha, it's Mi Shemecha. It's because he wasn't sure if it was a human being or a Malach, and he wanted to know the name. So it's like, Mi, who are you? And then, what's your name, depending on what you are. But either way, regardless, he said, Mi Shemecha. To which the Malach responded, Lama Zeh Tishalish Mi V'hu Peli. Why are you asking my name, V'hu Peli? But then he added on, V'hu Peli. My name is Peli. So what's Peli? Says the Chassam Sofer from his Rebbe, the Hafla, the Chassam Sofer had two Rebbeim. The Hafla, and the other Rebbe was? Good. Rav Nassim Adler. Very good. Josh, great job. Rav Nassim Adler. Rav Nassim Adler was a massive Mekubal. Massive, massive Mekubal. And he learned from both of them. He says from his Rebbe, the Hafla, that was the name. Because the word Peli comes to the word Kiyafli Lindor Neder Nazir. When you make a Neder of Naziris, the word Yafli, Yud Pei Lamed Yud Aleph is used. So the name of the Malach is about Naziris. His job was to do Naziris. Since that was his job, he was named Pella. So why was he called Peli? Because it said Vu Peli, Vu Feli. What's the idea with the Yud? Says the Chassam Sofer, I've never heard this before. Adding on a Yud to the end of a name makes the name a little bit more special. So if a guy's name is Shimon, and you call him Shimmy, that means that's a more special name. Ezra, Ezi, right? All of a sudden you become a more special person because you have the Yud added on. I've never seen that Chassam Sofer before, but now I understand why all my kids have a Yud at the end of the name. It makes sense, except for Devorah. She didn't want to be known as Devorah because she's not from enough yet, but she will eventually. She's going to get there. What's up, Noah? What? No, I'm just special in and of itself. I don't need that. Tzvi is a perfect name, and there's nothing good with it. It's one of the shames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's shame number 52, according to the Baal HaTorim and Baal Oscha. Shame number 52 of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm basically an incarnation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. That's all I'm saying. I got that on tape, right? Either way, yeah, it's 100%. So that idea of Pella adding on the Yud becomes Felis. That says the Chassam Sofer. That's the name of the Malach. Remember we set up above from the Chassam Sofer that he had two jobs. He didn't know what he was there for. Are you there in order to tell me that the Gita Nusha is going to be Usher? Or are you there in order to change my name from Yaakov to Yisrael? Said the Malach, Lama Zet Yishal. Why are you asking the question? Lishmi. My name is Lishem. To give you a different name. The Yud at the end is to make it sound a little bit more special. But the name of the Malach was Lishem or Leshem. And the Yud is just to make it special. So Lishmi is the name. Same way it says, V'hu Peli, this is Lishmi. That's the name of the Malach. Brilliant Chassam Sofer. Absolutely brilliant. The Chassam Sofer gives another answer, but the Kli Yakar explains it a lot better. Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi is the name of the Satan. You know why? Because anytime he wants you to do something bad, all he does is he goes up to you and he says, why ask questions? Just do whatever you want to do. Lama Zeh Tishal Lishmi. Why do you have to ask such questions of me? You ask me, why should I do this? Why should I do this Avera? Why not? Don't ask any questions. Just do it. That's the idea that Nike stands for, and it's the exact same thing that the Satan stands for. They're synonymous with one another. It's why I wear Reebok. If that still exists. I don't even think it exists, right? Like Adidas? Oh, they do? Good. So, either way, so at least it's not the same idea. The idea behind it is just do whatever you want to do. Lama zetishalish me. Why do you bother asking my name? Just do whatever you want to do. That's the concept of what the Satan stands for, and that is its name. Mamash, the name of the Malach is Lama zetishalish me. That's the name of the Malach itself. The Malbim explains within the context of the Satan itself that this is the name. The name shows the atzmus of a person. My name represents who I am as a person. And in fact, that name, you know the little pusik that you have at the very, very end of the Siddur? You know what I'm talking about? The pusik right there that you say before the second Yularatzoni Mrefi, where it says, check out the back of the Siddur for the most awesome thing you can ever see. And according to Chazal, you're going to forget your name when you go up to Shemayim after 120, unless you say this pusik. It's because that pusik represents something about you. Your name is who you are. And even though there are more people named Tzvi, some of them are pretty awesome, nonetheless, Tzvi represents who I am more than anything else. My pasuk is Tzara Matzok Mitzuni Mitzvosecha Shashoi, which is not exactly the most encouraging, but I have found pain and oppression in this world, and yet still I want to do your mitzvos. I had better things said about me.
I'm not going to remember my name. My pasuk is Avram. I'm going to think my name is Avram.
That's perfect. Even better. That's a perfect fact. Then you don't have to worry about anything. Then you don't have to worry about anything. I always thought, like, I don't know how it's going to happen. You go up to Shemayim after 120, right? And they get to your name, and you can only remember the first letter and the last letter, because I'm going to get up there and say, Tzar Matzok Mitzuni Mitzvah Shashuoi, right? They're going to be like, okay, that's good. What's the middle part of the name? So for me, it's going to work out well. I'm going to be like, Tzi, Tzvi, got it. Good. I'm done. But, like, if your name was Slalponis, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, you got Sadi Tuff, and then you're going to have to keep going around. Like, that's just going to take a really, really long time. I guess if you're dealing with the context of Shemayim and there's no such thing as time, I think it's going to be okay. But regardless, says the Malbim, that by definition, the Satan has no name. It is whatever you want it to be. Whatever you want it to be, that's what it becomes. And therefore, Lama Zetzi Shalashmi, it's not that that's my name. It's that I have no name. By definition, the Satan has no name. There's nothing there to go with. That's the concept of what he stands for, the Malbim says over here. There's another Chsam Sofer, and another Chsam Sofer, and another Chsam Sofer. But the Ma'ana Shel Torah says such an awesome answer. He says that the Malach was telling Yaakov, he said, how did you not figure out the name? You don't need to ask me any questions. You know what my name is. When you defeat someone, you take on their koach. Like, let's say, Zalman, I would destroy you, right? So I would take on the koach of Zalman and add it on to my name. So Tzvi is 102. Zalman altogether would be 70 plus 50, 120, 127. So I would take 127, add it onto 102. I would get 224. And my new name would be Reish Chaf Dalid Rakad. Rechid, right? That's what it would be. So when Yaakov Inu defeated the Malach renamed him. What was the name of the Malach? The name the Malach gave him, I'm sorry? Yisrael. Take Yisrael, 541, subtract Yaakov, 182. Yisrael minus Yaakov is my name. It's 359, the gematria of Satan. You don't need to ask me for my name. You know it already. You know it from the fact that I gave you the name Yisrael, Lama Zetzishal Ishmi. You don't need to ask my name. I already gave it to you. It's right there. There's a Rashmi Bells over here. I'm going to say this really quickly in the future. The name of the Sultan is Samkel, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. But in the future, he's going to lose the Mem. He's going to be Sa'al, Samach Aleph Lamed, which is the 45th shame of the Shem Ayin Beis, of the 72 word name of three letter combinations each of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 45th one is Samach Aleph Lamed. And the reason why is because Yaakov Inu blessed him there by Varchos Hashem. It's not by Varchos Hashem that the Malach gave him a bracha, it's that Yaakov gave the Malach a bracha, that in the future his name will be different in something Kaddish. And that's the bracha that he gave him right now. He gave him the bracha to lose the Mem in order for the Mem to be given over, and thus he'll be Sa'el instead of Samkel in the very, very end, and everything's going to be all good. I want to end with something, but it's a difficult one. So we're going to end with this, and we'll just go with it. If you get it, great. If not, then it's my fault, because I didn't explain it well. It's a hard one. The Meshech Chochma asks why he needed to know the name of the Malach. Why did he need to know this name in the first place? There's no real need. He answers that Yaakov wanted to give him a bracha, just like the Malach gave to him. The Malach gave him a bracha that his name is Yisrael. So Yaakov wanted to go back and give him a bracha, since the Yerushalmi says that a bracha is only chal when you name the person. You can't give a bracha if you don't know the other person's name. So there's a lot of times where I pretend that I actually remember the name of the person. I don't actually know it. Like, hey, you're that guy. I try introducing. If you ever come to the point, don't worry, Jason, I remember your name. But if there's ever a point where I go up to somebody and say, like, hey, why don't you introduce yourself instead? It's because I totally forgot what your name is. And it's not my fault. I don't remember names well. So, that is sort of my fault. I should really work on that. But regardless, that's something that I have that's there. It says Yerushalmi. A bracha is only chal if you know the name. So therefore, Yaakov wanted to give him a bracha, right? So he wanted to get his name. He went up to the Malach and said, give me your name. Tam Vidas, where Sturmbach wonders about this. He says he doesn't understand. The Gemara in Brachos, Lama Dalit says, you can daven for another person without knowing his name. The Magen Avraham adds, if the person is standing in front of you. If there's a person who needs a refuah shlema, and you don't know their name, and the person's right there in front of you, then you can just look at him, and your tefillah works for that person. Do you know that? You don't have to mention the name specifically. If the person's there, then in your refa'inu, when you say that Yiratzon V'necha Hashem Elokeinu Sheyitein refuah shlema, etc., you could say it for that person without mentioning the person's name, if the person's there. If the person's not there, then you need the name. So over here, the Malach was right there. What do you need the name for? The Malach was right there. He could have benched him right there. The only time you need the name is if he's not there. But the Malach was right there in front of him. So why do you need the name? So he says, maybe it's different. When a person's sick, and you can see the person's sickness in front of you, then you feel empathetic toward that person, and then you don't need the name, because that empathy that you have within you makes you daven better for that person, even though you don't know that person's name. But if you don't have empathy, if you don't see a sickness, then maybe it's different, and then you have to actually get a name. So when I give a person a bracha for atzlacha, you must know the name, says Rav Sturmbach. It's a big chiddush. But you have to know the actual name. Like Moshe and Miriam for her tzaras, when he felt that she was in pain, he could daven and just say, El na rafa na la, because that's good enough. He knows who she is and she's right there in front of you. But if a Talmud Chacham is giving that, that's going to be different. So maybe, the next time you go to a gadol, and you get that bracha v'hatzlacha from them, or a buha from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you might need to state your name in order for the bracha to be chal. And we learned that from Yaakov Inu asking the Malach. When the Malach said, Lama zet yishal l'shmi, he realized, okay, for the Malach, I don't need to tell him the name. Therefore, he by Yivarcho Sosham, he just gave him a bracha and that was it. But normally you need to ask for the name specifically. That if you want to get a bracha for Hatzlacha, make sure you get the name down. And if you're giving a bracha for Hatzlacha, make sure you know that person there, as opposed to a refuah shlema. By refuah shlema, if the person's there, you don't need the name. If the person's not there, then you need to get the name. And that's the way it goes over there. It's an amazing, amazing idea. I don't know if I have this, but the basic idea behind this whole shir is the concept of names. To get it down and to understand that your name really does represent you and to work on it. There's something that your name has within you that tells you about yourself. So work on that pasuk. You see the pasuk at the end of the Siddur? Work on that pasuk and look at it over and over and over again. Learn all the pirushim of that pasuk and see if that could apply to you so that you understand who you really can become, who you really are. Shkoyach, everyone. Have a good Shabbos.